Well, good morning. I invite you to take your Bible in hand and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah, chapter 9. You'll find that chapter on page 573 if you're using one of the Bibles there in the pew. And if you do not own a Bible, we invite you to accept that Bible in the pew as a gift from Bethany Baptist Church to you this morning. We are going to pause our study through the book of Titus. I guess you probably already guessed that. but we're pausing our study through that book until after the first of the year. Last year, on the Sunday before Christmas, I preached a sermon on a single verse of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We find there a prophecy of the one whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, the birth of Israel's Messiah, who is the Savior of the world. And in that verse, we find four names that are given for this child born to us, this son given to us. And as I prepared to preach that sermon last year, I came to the realization that there was much more about these four names given for Christ that I could cover in one sermon. And so this year, we're going to be in this single verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for 4 weeks. And we are going to consider one of these four names each Sunday, beginning today, which is the first day of Advent, and concluding, Lord willing, on the Sunday before Christmas, in this Advent sermon series titled, "And His Name Shall Be Called." Now, the word Advent means a coming or an arrival. We speak of things like the advent of modern medicine or the advent of modern technology. And we often think of Advent in connection with something that is helpful, something that serves for the advancement of humanity. And many of the things that we think of when we speak of the advent of something are things that we are prone to put a high level of trust or dependence upon, like modern medicine or modern technology, and so on. We may go so far as to look upon these things in a saving way, that we would look upon these things to be our rescuer or our satisfier or our deliverer or our savior, which is, of course, to go too far, because there is only one who can be our rescuer, our satisfier, our deliverer, our savior. And at Christmas, we celebrate the greatest Advent the world has ever known. The Advent, the coming, the arrival of Jesus Christ. The eternal Son of God came from heaven here to take on flesh. He was born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a grungy cattle trough. And the purpose for his advent was to accomplish eternal salvation for us, for all who will believe. And for that reason, hallelujah, Christmas is awesome. As we celebrate his first advent, as we celebrate at Christmas time, we do so with anticipation of a second advent. And that second advent will happen just as surely as the first. This same Jesus Christ will descend from heaven for the purpose of accomplishing the full and final consummation of our eternal salvation. With a cry of command, the dead in Christ will rise, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. And for that reason, Christmas is awesome. So as we celebrate his first advent with anticipation of his second advent, may the Holy Spirit give us strength, that we might focus the totality of our lives
on Jesus. Isaiah foretold of his birth some 700 years before Jesus arrived. Give your full attention to the reading of God's word. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful verse. We confess right now before you our greatest need. We confess our need is Jesus. We confess that without Jesus we are hopelessly lost and undone. We confess that we are in need of having eyes to see Jesus by faith, ears to hear Jesus by faith, hearts to receive Jesus by faith, and wills to obey Jesus by faith. We confess all of these things, and so as we come to you today, reading this passage of your word, ready to hear this passage, this verse preached, we ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, give us the ability to do all of those things we just mentioned, that we might see Jesus, hear Jesus, receive Jesus, and obey Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Now this verse, Isaiah 9:6, is set in a passage that is a prophecy of the arrival of the Messiah God had long promised to Israel. And this passage speaks of a great reversal that the Messiah would bring. Isaiah wrote of days of suffering and misery and oppression for the people because the people had rebelled against God. Look back with me at the last verse of chapter 8, verse 22. And they will look to the earth, and behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. It's a dismal picture that Isaiah paints with his prophetic pen. But then suddenly, at the beginning of chapter 9, there is this great reversal. It's like a dawn of hope in which the darkness is driven back by the brilliant rays of a rising sun. Look with me at verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. So there's this reversal from darkness to light. Look at verse 3. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. So there's a great reversal from sorrow to joy. Now look at verse 4. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. So there's this great reversal from oppression to freedom. So as we move from Isaiah chapter 8 to Isaiah chapter 9, we have this great reversal from darkness to light, from sorrow to joy, from oppression to freedom. We have this great reversal from despair to hope. And this great reversal is a result of the birth of a specific child. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. This child born to us, this son given to us, will be the light bringing, the joy giving, the freedom winning king. Now, in case we might ask who this child is, the New Testament gives us a clear answer. Now, I'm going to ask you to hold your place here in Isaiah chapter 9 and turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. What's the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible. That's right. The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. One passage speaks about another passage, and what I want us to see in Matthew chapter 4 is some very clear commentary on the passage in Isaiah chapter 9. So Jesus, at this point, Jesus has been born of the Virgin Mary. He's grown into manhood in spite of King Herod's attempts to put an end to him as a child. Jesus has begun his ministry in spite of the devil's attempts to pull him away from his purpose and his mission, to draw him from what he had come to do. And as Jesus began his ministry, we find very clear commentary in Matthew chapter 4 on the passage that we've read in Isaiah chapter 9. So begin reading with me at verse 12, Matthew 4. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. That he, of course, is Jesus. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Bells should be ringing in our minds right now. So that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, that's the commentary on Isaiah chapter 9 found in Matthew chapter 4, and the question is answered. Isaiah chapter 9's prophecy is fulfilled in none other than Jesus. Jesus is the child born to us. Jesus is the son given to us. Jesus is the king who came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Now, in the ancient world, kings were often given various names to define or describe the king and his reign. Various names to define the king's purpose and mission. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we find four names for King Jesus. Names that describe Jesus and his reign, names that define his purpose and his mission. And these names tell us why Christmas is so awesome. Amen. We're going to look at the first of these four names today, Wonderful Counselor. And we're going to think on the wonder of Jesus and the wisdom of Jesus. So first think with me on the wonder of Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, what does it mean that Christ is wonderful? Now, we use this word wonderful in various ways in our modern language. We use it to speak of something that we enjoy. So maybe you spend an evening with some friends, and when the hour comes for you to depart, you say to them, "Thank you for a wonderful evening. I enjoyed it so much." We use the word wonderful in reference to something that we really like. So if someone bakes you a 7-layer chocolate cake and you slice a piece of that cake and you pop it in your mouth, you might say, "Ooh, that's wonderful." We use the word wonderful sometimes to speak of how we're doing. You know, somebody comes up to us and they greet us and say, hey, Mark, how are you doing? And if Mark's having a really good week, Mark says, "I'm wonderful. How are you?" So in these examples, we're using the word wonderful in a subjective way. See, because maybe you had a good evening with friends, an enjoyable evening there at their home. Maybe you didn't. Maybe their dog bit you on the leg. You know? You know, maybe I really like 7-layer chocolate cake, but maybe you don't. I don't know what's wrong with you if you don't, but you don't. You know, maybe Mark has had a really good week, but maybe Mark's facing some really serious problems. And so, you know, we use this word wonderful in a subjective way, and we might be prone to read this name, Wonderful counselor in that subjective way. Jesus is wonderful. Now, it certainly is the case that if we have Jesus as our wonderful counselor, that we would agree that all of those subjective meanings of the word wonderful are true. I mean, Jesus is supremely enjoyable. I mean, if we have Jesus as our counselor, we have a counselor we really like. And he can always be trusted. But the meaning of the word wonderful in Scripture is not subjective. The fact that Jesus is wonderful is not subject to our feelings. In the Bible, the word wonder or wonderful speaks of something that is high above our natural environment. It speaks of something miraculous. It speaks of something transcendent to us. So let me give you some examples. We just recently, this year, studied through the book of Joshua together. God commissioned Joshua to lead the people of Israel into the land of Canaan God had promised them and take that land. And at the beginning of the book, Joshua and Israel were standing on the eastern side of the Jordan River. The promised land of Canaan was on the western side. They had to cross that river to get to the promised land. But the river was at flood stage. It was swollen. It was overflowing its banks. And in chapter 3, Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And on the morrow, when it came, the Jordan River, flooding, swollen, overflowing its banks, stood up in a great heap far above where Israel stood, so that the whole nation of Israel crossed over into the promised land on dry ground. That's a wonder. So God showing his miraculous power to stop a flooding river and make it stand up straight in a heap, that is wonderful. In the next book of the Bible, the book of Judges, chapter 13, the man Manoah, who would father the man Samson, you've probably heard of him. Manoah was approached, he was visited by the angel of the Lord, who told Manoah, "Your wife, who has been barren, she's going to have a son." And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? So that when your words come true, we may honor you." You know what the angel of the Lord said to him? He said, "Why do you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful?" The angel of the Lord was saying, "My name is far above your ability to comprehend. My name is high above your resident environment. My name is miraculous. My name is super to your natural. My name is wonderful." So now, maybe that helps us understand what God's word means when it says that Christ, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He is a child born to us, flesh and blood, human being, just like us. And yet, he is so much more. His birth was a supernatural birth, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. The hosts of heaven's armies of angels filled the sky on the night that he was born. I'm convinced God the Father emptied heaven of all of its angels so that they filled the sky on the night that Christ was born, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's a description of Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. He who in the beginning was with God. He was God. He was the one through whom and for whom all things were created. He was coming into our world. The life giver came to live among us. Oh, listen. Hallelujah. He healed the sick. He caused the blind to see. He caused the deaf to hear. He caused the lame to walk. At a spoken word from his mouth, the storms were calmed. The wind lies still, and the dead were raised to life. Demons trembled in his presence, and they fled at his command. One commentator wrote these words. The Old Testament usage of this word, wonderful, compels us to the conclusion that it here designates the Messiah not merely as someone extraordinary, but as one who in his very person and being is a wonder. He is that which surpasses human thought and power. He is God Himself. His name is wonderful because Jesus is the great wonder. What no man, mere man's mind could conceive or imagine, God has given to us in this child born to us, this son who was given. No mere man, whatever his gifts or abilities, could accomplish this great reversal from Isaiah 8 to Isaiah 9, this great reversal from darkness to light and from sorrow to joy and from oppression to freedom. No mere man could accomplish this great reversal from despair to hope. But when this child was born, when this son was given, God was born a human being. Jesus is the light that has come into our world of darkness, and the darkness has not overcome him. At his spoken command, our darkness flees, and we live in the warm brilliance of his light. Jesus is the healing balm that has entered into our world of sorrows and sighing, and he wipes away the tears from our eyes, and he causes us to rejoice in him always. For in his presence there is fullness of joy. Jesus is the great liberator who has crushed the head of our ancient enemy, the devil. Light and joy and freedom are found in him who is the gift of God to us at Christmas. And to all who believe, listen, Jesus freely. Jesus is, in every sense of the word, miraculous. He is the great wonder. Think with me next on the wisdom of Jesus. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. So what is it that makes, what does it mean when we say that Christ is counselor? Because one of the first meanings I think that probably comes to our minds when we hear the word counselor these days is a therapist. You know, someone that we go and we seek their help when we are in a crisis or when we are experiencing some of those serious problems. And hey, listen, there's no doubt that for those of us who have Jesus as our wonderful counselor, that we found that there is no counselor equal to the help that Jesus gives us no matter what problem we face. I mean, it is no doubt that we have experienced and know to be true that Jesus is the one who gives a unique life-giving therapy for all that ails us. Amen. Foremost, the sin that clings so closely, and no mere man can give any kind of therapy even close to that which Jesus gives. But laying on a therapist's couch is not the picture we should take away from Isaiah chapter 9. Because this prophecy is a prophecy of kingship. So the picture we should take away from Isaiah chapter 9 is us bowing down before the throne of an all-wise king and listening carefully to his wisdom, hanging on every word, and seeking his strength, and submitting to his reign. Now, earthly kings and presidents and governors, they have need for counselors themselves. So they surround themselves with, and this is good, this is the right thing to do, they surround themselves with like advisors who speak into their leadership. And that's a very good and right thing for earthly kings and presidents and governors to do. But Isaiah is saying that this child born for us, this son given to us, he won't have any need to gather a board of advisors around him to speak into his leadership, because his name is called Wonderful Counselor. Isaiah was prophesying during reigns of kings who had descended from King Solomon. Now, you remember Solomon. He made one request to God. What was the request?
Wisdom.
So, Solomon requested wisdom from God. God granted his request abundantly. I mean, people came from all over the world to hear Solomon's wisdom. Yet, in the end, even Solomon was drawn away into foolish actions. And by Isaiah's time, the king's ruling in Solomon's lineage, their reigns looked far, far worse. I mean, these kings, for the most part, they were depending upon worldly wisdom and not divine wisdom. They had rebelled against God, these kings, and under their reign, the people rebelled against God, and they were suffering the consequences. So what do we learn from that? Well, we learned that with earthly rulers, earthly rulers can sometimes lead with a good measure of wisdom, but also with great folly, even with their many counselors. So some will have good discernment and insight, and some will be sorely lacking in those things. Some will lead for the well-being of the people. And really, that's what they're seeking, is the well-being of the people. And some will lead simply to satisfy their thirst for power.
That's right.
Some will sincerely seek to lend a hand to the people they lead. And some will simply try to flex their muscles.
Yeah.
Some will mean well, but will lack the ability to lead well.
Amen.
And you don't ever know which you're going to get with this world's rulers. But that's not how it is with King Jesus. His wisdom and his ability know no limits, and they cannot fail. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, we live in days in which it's hard to know who to trust and what to believe. We live in days when we might be unsure of the motives of certain societal leaders, and we might be unsure of their ability to follow through on even the best of motives. So what are we to do? Okay, so that's exactly right. God's word is clear, but I'm going to back up from that one first. God's word is clear that we are to be subject to the ruling authorities as long as their decrees do not run counter to the word of God. Okay, so that's the first thing. And then God's word is clear that we are to pray for the ruling authorities, and we are to show them honor. But God's word is clear, and it's clear in this passage and many other passages, that our deepest trust and hope do not lie with the gifts and the wisdom of any mere earthly ruler whose best efforts are going to fall and fail in some way. Our deepest trust and hope lie with him whose name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 11 of this book, as a matter of fact, turn there with me. Let's just turn a page or two over. Chapter 11 of Isaiah. Isaiah wrote these words about Christ in beginning in verse 2. Start with me there. Isaiah 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit, catch this, of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Jesus is not going to judge by what his eyes see, like earthly rulers. All earthly rulers, they must judge by what their eyes see. No, Jesus is not going to decide disputes by what his ears hear, like earthly rulers. That's how they must decide disputes, but not Jesus. No, with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. That's Jesus. He is the radiance of the glory of God, and he's the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power, the Bible says of him in Hebrews chapter 1. And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, the Bible says of him in Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is the wisdom of God in the flesh. And our deepest trust and hope must lie only in him. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The verse says, the prophecy says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And then in verse 7, read verse 7 with me. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. At Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus reigns, and Jesus reigns with perfect wisdom. He needs no counselors, not King Jesus, because he himself is wisdom. And as his people, we have an all-wise king. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. When we stand at the crossroads of indecision, his spirit, who indwells all who believe upon him, takes the word that he inspired, and he says to us, this is the way you should go. Now walk in it. When we face temptations and trials, it is Jesus who leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we face anxiety and sorrow, it is Jesus who guides us through the very valley of the shadow of death so that we fear no evil because he is with us. When we face fear and doubts, it's Jesus who follows us with goodness and mercy all the days of our life. To our final destination, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Jesus is God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. And Jesus is man. He can sympathize with our weaknesses because he was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Listen, Jesus knows you far better than you know yourself. And he knows precisely what you need. And he knows what is best for you. In his deity, he knows you fully. As the God who created you and the God who knows all things. And in his humanity, he knows you sympathetically. Having come into our world, taken on flesh to dwell among us. And to do that in order to conquer our fears and our failures. To suffer and die for our eternal salvation. To rise again triumphant from the grave. And having ascended to heaven to reign. If we are trusting in our own wisdom or in the wisdom of this world, we are trusting in folly. Amen. Because Jesus Christ alone, himself, is wisdom from God. Amen. And we can always trust his rule. And we can always trust his leadership. Amen. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. For a people plunged into darkness, sorrowing and sighing, bound in the chains of the oppression of sin, Jesus came. He came into our darkness as the light of the world. He came into our world of sorrow, and he wept over us. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He bore the wrath of God upon rebellion. A rebellion not his own, but ours. He bore it all for you and me. This child born to us, this son given to us, this king will always lead his people perfectly. For every burden that you and I encounter, Jesus will give us the strength, the wisdom, the ability to take another stride in the race that is set before us. Listen. Jesus will give you a love beyond measure, though everyone else turns away. Jesus will give you grace abounding into infinity when every other resource proves insufficient. Jesus will give you a hope that is sure as the promises of the God of truth, because every single promise God has spoken find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And in the depths of the darkest feelings you have felt, listen carefully to this. In the depths of the darkest feelings of fear and guilt and shame and depression and loneliness and exhaustion and anxiety and worry, in the deepest, darkest depths of the darkest feelings you have ever experienced, there is a gracious, sovereign hand reaching out to hold you and to keep you if you belong to Him by faith. He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. Jesus understands when nobody else understands. Even when you don't understand, He understands. He is Wonderful Counselor. That's who my Jesus is. And He's all you need. Have you come from the darkness into His light? Have you been released from the endless sorrow into His joy? Amen. Have you felt the chains of sin's oppression fall flat from you as you enter into the freedom of Jesus alone? Amen. This light, this joy, this freedom is found only in Him whom God has given to us, whose coming, whose arrival we celebrate at Christmas. This child born to us, this son given to us, the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And that's the reason Christmas is awesome.
Amen.
Praise His holy name. Father in heaven, what a beautiful verse of Scripture we find in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And we thank You today for reminding us of the precious light and joy and freedom and hope that we have, because Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. And God, I pray that now as we come to the close of this time of corporate worship, that we who know You, that we will remember all that we've heard from Your Word today and be strengthened by it, that each day as we walk forward in the course of this next week, that we will be seeing Jesus by faith, hearing Him by faith, receiving Him by faith, and obeying Him by faith. And God, I pray that if there's someone here today, physically, someone watching on the live stream, either now or later this week, someone who does not know the One who is Wonderful Counselor, someone who has not surrendered to Jesus by faith, I pray that by the power of Your eternal Word, repentance and faith would be a reality in that person's life. That person here today who doesn't know Jesus would turn from sin and put his or her faith in Christ, the Wonderful Counselor. It's in His name we pray. Amen.